My observations, I'll just say this, and this is not a doctrine, this is just an observation. It seemed like the escalation of us understanding more of who we are in Christ, in particular to the doctrine of righteousness and the power over sin, it seemed like that actually began to escalate and move in all of us preachers that are my best friends and in my pastors, in that sense of the word. It seemed to also come along almost simultaneously with a great move of the hyper-grace message. It was like one way or the other, either we had to either combat it and be changed by the message of truth that was coming to us to make a stronger stand. Personally, I'll say this. Passages, and I'm saying this in personal mannerisms so that it hopefully has a grip on your heart to say, that's right. And so if we've changed from there to here, we're going to change in other places. We're going into revival. Personally, passages of Scripture like the ones that we just read in Ephesians, the ones I would call killer or deal-breaker sins, like 1 Corinthians 6, Galatians 5, Ephesians 5, were read by me in times gone by in a different light. Okay? In the past 20-plus years, I have read the same passages of Scripture, possibly, at this point in time, getting into any kind of cross-sword bait, like, well, I've read it. And you know how foolish that is? We teach you around here, read it as much as possible. We don't put a, like, you're not going to get revelation until you tip that 100 mark. That's when you can get revelation from the get-go. The only thing is, from the very moment, you continue to prove it and prove it and prove it. I have read all of these epistles hundreds of times. And that's not a brag. It's just that, like, there's no need to ever get into discussion. I read it 500 times. Well, I read it 600 times. I can probably tell you more about it. Come on, man. Come on. Personally, I've in the past 20 years, I've read the same passages of Scripture possibly hundreds of times. Now, present tense, I cannot tell you what exactly those Scriptures meant to me as in regards to the church or people that I loved that were living according to those types of sins. I was wondering, I'm like, where was my concept? But you know what that is? That's being changed, transformed by the renewing of your mind and walking in obedience. It's like a dullness. It's like a shroud is on your thinking, and you can't. And you're like, well, I lived there, but I can't remember exactly what was it. How did I ever interpret those things in the past? What I'm saying is that in something according to Revelation has awakened inside of me, where in the past my eyes could not see the truth in the light of the gospel that Jesus left. And again, I will remind you, this is the Scripture that I quoted a moment ago. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Neither I or the men that I love and respect preached or taught many passages that they teach now the same way that they taught then. I can suppose that I saw these types of Scriptures more in the light of Paul speaking strictly to the world outside of the church. You know, when he says, don't do this, don't do this. You don't have any... I don't know. Maybe I was thinking more in the light. He's talking about people that's not in the church. Outside of the church. The world. Needless to say, my gospel had a lot of gray in it. Far more than I care to admit. I think it's a good thing at this time for me to say this or ask this. Church, are you saved? I like that. Yes, sir. Can we do it again? Church, are you saved? Church, are you saved? Hallelujah. Praise God. To those inside the church that were still, and I'm just talking about my mentality. I don't know, I can't trace your mentality, but listen. Well, I thought that way all those years. Well, why didn't you come up and correct somebody? You lived under 20. We've all progressed. And I can tell you why, because your verbiage, the way you said things were just like me. And your mouth gives you away on what you believe or what you don't yet understand. To those inside the church that were still involved in such sins, I probably would have thought them to be those not strictly being addressed by Paul. They were just believers that loved God and were just having problems with their flesh. Okay? The ambiguous responses by myself and other respected leaders give me no other choice to believe that our gospel was buried in shades of gray, and our natural understanding that not only limited the revelation of the true gospel that Jesus left, but also impeded the very power of this gospel from being brought to full demonstration because of preaching a watered-down gospel. That's a lot said, but I hope that sinks in. In other words, limited gospel means limited power. If you preach a shady gospel, you're going to have a shady, you're going to get some squeaks in, healed every once in a while. I'm looking for first time, every time, all the time. And I know when the model, what model? I hope you understand. Okay, so right now, the 2019 models of every car is out. The 2020s might be out. I don't know. It's August, so they come out. When they roll off the line, they're the model of that year. When the 2019 or the 2020, whenever we're standing, when that model rolls off the line and that model looks just like the first century gospel model, voila! Revival. But the reason why revival has not is because in our best efforts, we've been trying to get there. And thank God for helping us. To me at the time, it was not a watered down. It was a cutting edge. It was beyond what I was hearing in the mainstream, yet in comparison to what we understand and speak today, it's night and day. Open questions asked to me and by me exemplified a weak, watered-down, milquetoast, generic gospel, which in many ways had a true vein, as like I said, the praying in tongues and all that, the pillars are true. True vein in it, like the benefits of praying in tongues, but in some places it had veins of fool's gold. Something that looks real, but cannot carry the weight of the true gospel. Listen, remember the message I preached on road tested? This right here and the power of the new nature has been road tested. It's already been road tested by Christ. And He gave it to us. We can do this. We can go into revival. Now, what questions? Well, questions that were indicative of the light that I was walking in or the darkness that I was walking in. Questions like to people about their friends or loved ones in response of trying to help. I would, as a pastor, you should try to help. Questions like, are they saved or have they ever received Christ as Savior? It was almost as if a one-time commitment helped me kind of locate their present condition. When people would talk about their sister, family member, friend, sister, brother, friend, family member that was living with someone for the last several years or even several months, and sometimes even had children with those people, and they had a continuous drug or alcohol problem that kept them drunk and sedated, weak habitually to porno. Remember, I'll say this for all of us. It's real easy to give your family members a hall pass. That old wretched people that he's talking about in them three scriptures, that's not my son or daughter. Well, sweetheart, if that's your son or daughter doing those things habitually, that's them. I've got blood people that I was raised in the same home that they know about Christ. They'll cry when you talk to them about Christ, but they got to get saved. And they cannot die today in the condition they're in because they'll go to hell. And it just make them, it break their heart for me to tell them that, because they believe Bubba, and Bubba loves them more than anything else. But I'm telling you this, the truth is this word. It's not your relationship with your relative. It's the word. Thank you. Even my asking those questions in years gone by, like, well, because I would conceive, like, because when people cry when they talk about God, Gary Carpenter had a wonderful message, Christian idolatry. We just listened to that. Listen, it was a good one. I highly recommend it. It's a Sermon on the Mount series. Remember, it's much easier to give your families a hall pass. We found ourselves often saying things like, now this will give you away, yes, they have this terrible problem, but there's a part of them that really loves Jesus. No greater lie has ever been spoken. If you believe that, you're still believing a lie. There's still a darkness. But they do, Pastor. I know that they don't love Jesus. 1 John taught us that. They love a false Jesus that they have created in their own minds to worship without conviction in the midst of their sins. And without repentance, they will go to a devil's hell. Now, Pastor, you don't know my daughter. You don't know my son. You don't know my uncle. I just know that they are still his. Well, have they been doing this habitually for a good amount of time? Yes, Pastor, but I'd know. Well, what you're saying is you've made an exception for them. But here's the thing. That's not bad for us to realize that. That helps us. Because now we can really intercede for them not in a milquetoast way. We can pray for them with an effectual, fervent prayer that'll get the job done. Why do we look at these things different? Because I have and you have awakened. Not out of a spiritual death. We didn't come out of spiritual death. We've come out of we've come through and are coming into. We're still in the middle of it, and I just want all of it that God has. We're still in an awakening of revelation of the truth of the gospel. I'll read this to you. You don't have to turn there. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing that you know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the wicked, fall from your steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Could we say knowledge is revelation? To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. The church as a whole had fallen from a place of steadfastness because of religious doctrine that had been passed down through the centuries. We are growing. Listen to me. Got just a little bit more here. We're growing in grace and in knowledge. We are not growing in righteousness, but rather the knowledge of what that righteousness which has been present, but what has always been present has been hidden through false teaching, false doctrine, religion, and even some of the things that we spoke that we didn't understand correctly at the time. But we're going to another place. Revival. I see a model coming out. It's coming down. It's coming out. Woo, this one looks just like, this is the first century model. This is the one the apostles and prophets, the apostles walked in, Jesus. And this one looks just like that one. It's coming out. We're gonna live in that one. Hallelujah. Coming through a great awakening and still very much in one right now has positioned me now to be able to help these people like never before to preach the gospel that will eventually get little children out of wheelchairs. So many Christians now have a foregone conclusion without debate. This posture sets me in a place of not an antagonistic judgment. In other words, you won't even hear me asking people questions like that when they talk about brother so-and-so, Pastor Bronk, please pray for my son, you know, him and his girlfriend, and they need, you know, they know the Lord, or they know. I don't even go there. I don't even, You don't have to now that we understand the truth. But see, the thing of it is that we don't connect up in our minds this truth of those things. It's not like trying to just figure out who's sinning and who's not, but that truth of taking the shade off of that enlightens other places. As long as you're dark here, you're dark there. And as long as you're dark there, it takes the power off, get out of that wheelchair. Because you don't understand the authority. I was talking to Homer about some of this last night, and he said, man, the walk that we're on, the things that we're understanding, he said it opened up 1 John to me like never before. And you know, Homer, not in brag, but if anybody's ever read and meditated 1 John, that's been some of the love of his life. But he said, even with all my meditation, I was still confused in certain areas. But now it's just making perfect sense. Why? Because we're waking up. Are you glad?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Just a little more. Changes within my ministry to the church and people have changed in this awakening. People in the church saw me begin to make changes in ways that and things that were hard for some because they did not understand, because we'd done certain things the same way and we stopped saying stopped doing certain things. But here's the thing. You will either change through the revelation in obedience, or you will choose to rebel and stay the same. That will only keep you in a watered-down gospel that kind of gospel. If you don't make the changes, you can confess on Sunday night for 100 years, and you'll still never come to anything. You're just like a hamster, you know. I was at Amber's the other night when our AC went out, and I was in the upstairs bedroom, and there was a hamster. Well, he don't wake up until about 11:30, 12 o'clock, and then he jumps on his wheel, and I had to go in there, pick him up, and take him in another room that nobody was in, and close the door. But he thought he was getting somewhere because he was just going, boy. See, when you start waking up, one of the things that will happen is Satan will stand right on that line and start accusing you of the way that you conducted. Listen, there were people, and I don't want to say too much about it because some of those people are very precious and they've made the change in their life. There were people that I was letting do stuff that they weren't doing stuff up here on the stage, but I was just letting them do stuff. And it don't matter if you've been living with somebody for 10 years and you've got children with them. That's still fornication. In God's economy, there is no common law marriage. There's not. You can't find that in Scripture. So I was allowing stuff. There was different things that I look back and go, why are you sharing this? Because I'm sharing how that when you begin to wake up, you either follow obedience or you stay the same. If you stay the same, you're in disobedience, and that darkness will only make you more darker, and eventually you'll follow. See, I'll try to conclude. I'll use an example. Now, this is even past 5 years, okay? So it's been but you could kind of relate because some of you will think, I think I know what he's talking about. So you guys know I like hunting, right? And I used to do a whole lot more. I don't even really have a place to go now, except maybe one that some people invite me. I used to have a big lease that I had thousands of acres. I was the manager of it. Because I was smart enough to bring a lot of other guys in, and I didn't have to pay nothing for it. That's smart. And I had it for like almost 20 years. And about 6 years ago, the Lord said, it's one of those waits, because it was too much. It wasn't that I was spending too much time. I never went, but it was too much. It was too much paperwork trying to get around liabilities and all that stuff. And the Lord said, you got to get rid of it. So I remember the day I did it, and I cried. That's 20 years, and I love hunting. So, but I'm telling you all that to say this, how much that things change, and your perspectives, and the light comes on, and the way that you teach. And I'm saying this is across the board, and how you can identify in every area of your life. A man invited me to a place, and I didn't know anything. I know that he said he loved the Lord. He would cry when he'd talk about the Lord. He'd talk about going and praying for people in hospitals and all kind of stuff. So I said, okay. He invited me out to his place. Now, I can tell you this because I've traveled several states in the United States, and I've hunted all over places, and I've hunted outside the, I've just hunted many different, I was going to say outside of the states, but many different places in the United States. So I know premier hunting. This was the best by far, 10 times beyond anything that I'd ever seen. This was a gold mine place. So this guy invited me out, and I was like, man, this is, nobody in the world gets to do this. This is incredible. And I won't go into the harvesting part because some of you are sensitive. They went to be with Jesus, okay, those of you, okay, they went to be with Jesus. They don't have spirits. That's why it's not murder, okay? Your doggy doesn't have a spirit either. That's why it's not murder, okay? Okay, anyway, so I went there, and I started, you know, and I went a couple times or whatever. Then I found out that this person who said he loved Jesus and was praying for the sick and would cry and stuff, and we'd talk about stuff like that. Then I found out he had a live-in. My revelation wasn't now where it is. My revelation then wasn't where it is now. So after I found out, I did have enough of, you know, have you ever... Here's the thing. Again, please get this straight with me. How can you read something hundreds of times and you get past it and you think, I know what it means. And then when the lights come on, that's where we've come to. We are awakening. We are waking up. The lights are coming on, and that rejoices me because I know the 2020 model is about to come out and it's going to look just like him. Or whatever's not yet, we're gonna keep working on that. Seat changes, headlight changes, this, that, and the other. We're gonna change until. So this guy and I was like, okay, well, I knew then I need to talk to him about this. So one time we're sitting there, and I said, you know, so and so, I said, I understand you got this, and I knew he was going at that time. He was going to another church. It was real weak, and I was in my mind thinking, well, they don't preach, so what we preach. So I was kind of giving him a little hall pass there, which was a level of darkness. And so I said, you know, you really need to change this thing real soon as possible and get married, blah, blah, blah. Well, he didn't right away, but he did in the interim to where that person moved out. And then he married somebody else. I think soon after. I can't remember. I'm not going to try to remember in front of all of you. He went somewhere and he married a Christian lady, supposedly, and brought her down here. Well, that was, I think that was wife 7 or 8. I think it was 7. And then they got a divorce. And so he's still talking about how much he loves Jesus and how much. And then he had a live-in come. And then I wouldn't go out there necessarily. I can't remember the scenario. I don't want to get it. But to save him from living in fornication, I married him to 8. I think it was 8. That was his 8th wife. And then he, of course, he's gone now. I love him, but he married 9. And then he's divorced 9 and is living with 10 or 11. I can't remember. I'm not trying to exaggerate. That's the truth. Are you trying to demean somebody? No, I'm just talking about, listen, based on 6-7 years later, on the first outlet, the first time that I learned, the first moment that I learned, before deer hunt number 20 or before visit number whatever, the first time I politely say, brother, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. If she's in there and you're living together, now listen, people say, well, they're living together. Listen, they're not baking bread. That's not the only thing they're doing in there. They're not washing dishes and they go into separate, you know. If they're in the house together, don't be naive. They're doing stuff. They're doing stuff. On the first visit, which should have been my last visit. And you've got friends and family, if they're saying, I'm not talking about unsaved people, but I'm talking about people that say, I love Jesus. Jesus is in my heart. I want to pray for the sick. I want to, and they, listen, the tears they shed for Jesus is not the same Jesus you serve. That's a false Jesus. That's a made up, it's a fictitious Jesus in their mind that they've become accustomed to of having an affection with, it's a falsehood. It doesn't, that Jesus is not real. That's a made-up Jesus. So now I see that no matter what they're crying, if it's a man or a woman with mascara and she's talking about, I love Jesus and I'm praying for the sick and I just believe in all kinds of, you know, whatever. Now you can be polite, but you explain, listen, the word says that if you say you're a brother, I cannot come over to your barbecue. I can't sit down to your spaghetti dinner with you. I can't go on a hunting trip with you. Listen, we got to judge this thing too. How far does this go? If you got, now I'm not talking about nationally known businesses where you got to buy, but if you got a local guy that you buy such and such from, and he proclaims to everybody, I'm born again, I'm Christian. He's saying, I'm born again. And he's living in adultery, fornication. We're going to have to judge who we're buying from or who we're doing business with. We can do business with the wickedest guy in the world as long as he says, but we cannot patronize. I don't care if they're a bar hopper and what all. I don't care who they're living with. It's, I can buy something from them or sell something to them or whatever. I can, that agency or whatever, it's okay. But as long as, when they start standing up and saying, I'm born again and I love God and I'm, no. And you're doing what? The word says you'll have no inheritance. And 1 Corinthians 5 says, not even to, now read it, don't take my word for it. It says, don't have any fellowship with them. Don't even eat with those people. And I don't want to write the word for you, but where does that mean? Does that mean don't trade with them? Like if I had an attorney or an accountant or whatever that says, I love Jesus, and they're living with a man or living with a woman, well then, I got to figure out something different. For me, because I got to follow the word. Listen, why are you saying all that? The word has exploded in us. It has exploded in us. And we're going someplace we've never been. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Did you get anything? Amen. Hallelujah. Where are we? Oh, God, yeah. Well, we did good. Paul kept people till they passed out and fell asleep and broke their necks. I don't care. All right, let's stand. Hallelujah. All right, Father, we bless you. We praise you. We thank you. Kingdom of God come. Will of God be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God.